Our theme has been victory through Christ, victory through Christ. And this is the second week that we will be doing that. And as I put that up, it says a lot can happen in 3 days. A lot can happen in 3 days. You know, on the day that they arrested him, the night that they tortured him, and the day they crucified him, but 3 days later, there was a resurrection. The Bible says that Jesus endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. He wasn't looking at the cross. He was looking at the resurrection. And whatever you're going through today, although it may not make sense to you, there is a resurrection coming. Amen. There's a resurrection coming. Last week, we went over victory over sin and how Jesus can give us victory over sin. This week, we're going to study victory over the world. How do we get victory over the world? And my key verse for that is 1 John 5:4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. That's the key. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Even our faith. You know, Jesus said to Peter, when they were in Jerusalem for the last time, Peter, he called him Simon this time. Simon, the devil desires to sift you as wheat. I want to let each of you know today, the devil desires to sift you as wheat. He wants to blow you in the air and blow you away, take you outside of church, destroy your faith. That's the key. When your faith is destroyed, when you no longer believe, when you start to doubt, that's when you're starting to be in a dangerous place. And he knows just the way to do it. You know, you may have been praying for something and it hasn't happened right away. You may have been wanting God to do something and it hasn't happened right away. And immediately he will start to whisper things in your ear. Well, you messed up. So God is not going to do it. God does not love you. He does things for other people. And this is how he starts to blow you away. And so today we're going to concentrate on how we can restore our faith. Because the Bible says that this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. When we start losing faith, we're going to have a hard time making it. When we start losing faith, and this is for me today, it doesn't matter how long you've been in church, you're going to always be battling. You're always going to be battling. There's going to be things that the devil knows that he will bring from 40 years ago to come and say, well, this and this and this. He will do anything to take away your faith. And once our faith starts to go, then we're in a dangerous place. So we have to hold on to our faith. We have to absolutely hold on to our faith. This is not about giving up, but this is about holding on. Amen. So we're going to look at how we can get victory over this world through our faith. And of course, the main scripture that details faith is in Hebrews chapter 11. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. What is substance? What is the substance? It's saying the material. When I say I talk about a substance, I'm talking about something that you build something with. Now faith is the substance. When I'm going to build a house, I'm going to need some substances. Name me some substances I'm going to need. Wood. I'm going to need some studs, maybe some siding. I'm going to need a lot of nails. So faith is the substance. This is what you build your hopes upon. Anyone got some hopes? Is there some things you're hoping that God will do for you? I have a lot of things I would like God to do. Well, faith is the substance, it's the studs, it's the nails, it's the framing that we are going to have to build that hope upon. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. That sounds so strange. The evidence of things not seen. That's so strange when you think about it, that faith is the evidence of things not seen. And I'll put it in a modern translation in verse 11 so that you could maybe grasp it better. It says, now faith is the assurance, the title deed, confirmation. Now the title deed is not the house, but it shows that you own the house. right? If your name is upon it, that's what you need to prove, that you own the house. It says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. And it puts divinely guaranteed. I like the way it put that. I like the way it put that. Divinely guaranteed. If something is divinely guaranteed, boy, you know, anyone got a dollar bill? Pull out your dollar bill and somewhere on there it'll say, In God we trust. In God we trust. The original pound note that was in England, the pound represented something. It represented a pound of gold. And so instead of carrying around 10 pounds of gold, they gave you these notes which said, I promise to pay. It says, I promise to pay. The Bank of England promises to pay. On the U.S. note, it says that this is issued by the Treasury. And somewhere on there, it's got a signature. Really, it's only a piece of paper. Think about it. That dollar bill is only a piece of paper. But you know what? We put trust in it that when we get this piece of paper, we're going to be able to buy things with it. We put trust and faith in a piece of paper. Now, in Germany in the 1920s, the pieces of paper that were the German Deutschmark, as they used to call it, was the German currency, it started to get devalued. And so you needed thousands and thousands of Deutschmarks, of marks, to even buy a loaf of bread. Because you know what happened? Trust and faith in the piece of paper started to go. Because they knew that behind that piece of paper, there wasn't any material. There wasn't any substance. But faith is the substance on which you can build your hopes. Amen. Scripture says, if in this life alone we had hope, we would be of all men most miserable. When we were in Benton Harbor yesterday, we visited a dear friend who had an operation. They'd found a tumor that was cancerous. Within 3 weeks, she went from walking around to having to have this tumor removed. And so we went to visit her in the hospice where she was, and she said to me, I don't know how people make it who don't believe in God. She was in the bed, but she says, listen, it's not about me I'm concerned about. It's about, you know, she was more worried about her family. She said she didn't know how people made it without a hope in God, without God. As I said last week, the Christian, you should be the most optimistic person. You should be the most joyful person. Now, we're not, let's be honest. And the reason why is to do with our faith. If you absolutely believe that tomorrow I was going to give you $1,000, how sad would you be? All right, let's bump it up, 10,000. Now we're talking. Some of us need a little bit higher number. Some of us need a little bit of a higher number. Some of us, I don't know if the word has penetrated, you're still kind of looking at me like, you're here, but you're not here. Let the word penetrate. Let the word penetrate. It says, I'm going to read this again because it's so beautiful. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation of things hoped for, divinely guaranteed. If you have a divine guarantee, that's something. That's something. And the evidence of things not seen, that is, the conviction of their reality. You know, I have never, with my own eyes, seen the Eiffel Tower, but I believe it exists. Why? Because I've heard about it. I've seen pictures about it. I'm telling you something. You may not have seen God with your own eyes, but listen, I'm telling you, He exists. The Bible says He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. The proof is in the wise men. They diligently sought Him. They were traveling for not months, probably years. In fact, if you read the story in Luke, when they came, Jesus was no longer in the manger, although they show the picture at Christmas with the wise men with the manger. No, it says house. Christmas had long gone. His birthday had long gone. He was in a house when they found him. The Bible says that they diligently sought the child. Today, if we will diligently seek him, he is a rewarder. He is a rewarder. And we're going to look at how we can get back faith, because I think that's what's killing a lot of us. We come to church and we say we believe, but we have all these doubts. Because God has not answered instantly, we start to get weak-kneed. It says this, the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. You know, I've taught many times of what I call the tree knowledge, right? Faith looks at something as a fact. You may never have been up in space to see that the earth is round with your own eyes, but I assume most of you believe that it is round. There's no flat earth people in here today. Amen. There's not too many people believe the earth is flat. Okay. Now, you've never been able to prove that, but you've heard it and to the point where you believe it. You believe in electricity, don't you? Anyone seen electricity? Not really. You haven't seen electrons. But most of us, when we go into a dark room, we don't even think. We just go up to the switch and we pull the switch. And what do we expect to happen? We expect the light to come. Because although we've never seen electricity, maybe we don't know how it works, how it's generated, how it moves, we know that when you pull that switch, we just believe that the light is going to happen. If we could get to that level in God, imagine what things would happen in our lives. If we would just get to that level of faith, level of faith. Yesterday, I had bought this electronic thing, and I didn't read the manual. So I just put some batteries, and I was expecting it to work. And I was pressing the button, and it wasn't working. And I thought, man, this thing is broken. Cheap piece of thing. I'm going to send it back. And I kept messing with it, and I kept changing the batteries, trying to understand why it wouldn't work, why the light wouldn't come on. And after a while, just accidentally, I realized that I wasn't pressing the button long enough. I was just going over and over, just, why this thing don't come on? And after reading the instructions, it said you have to hold on. Let me say that again. You have to hold on to the button. And when I held on to the button for the time it said, then suddenly it worked. A lot of us don't read the instructions, and we keep jabbing the button. This thing don't work, God. I've been praying, and it don't work. I kept changing the batteries. I kept trying to look and see if the wiring was bad. And just by accident, I just happened to hold it on. It wasn't deliberate, and it worked. And then I figured out, you have to hold on. It won't come on right away. A lot of us are like that with God. Lord, give me patience and give it to me now. Think about that if you don't get that. We have to hold on. Once I realized how it worked, there was no problem. There was nothing wrong with it. It was my understanding that was wrong. This thing was designed so you have to hold the button so it doesn't accidentally come on. They designed it so there was like a 3 or 4 second button push you had to hold it on before. And I didn't know that. I just expected, you know, it'd be like you go up to the light switch and you click it and you just keep clicking it and it doesn't come on, so you think there's something bad. Where it could be just the bulb, not the electricity. Amen. So faith is the assurance. When you have the assurance and you have a divine guarantee, and the victory can only come through faith, because there's lots of things we're not going to see happen right away. You have to hold on. Think about that. You have to hold on. Amen. Let's look about faith. How do you think faith comes about? Bible says faith comes by hearing. But even before faith, if I told you something, made you a promise, why would you believe me if it was a big promise? How do you know I'm an honest man? Right. It's because you know me. So you have trust. Before faith comes trust. If I tell you some big deal, I'm going to give you $10,000, you would have to trust me before you believe me. Well, pastor said he's going to do it. He's pastor, so I assume he's going to do it, right? I heard, Joel Osteen, I was listening to him, and he made a comment about the fact that he had a son, and when his son got his permit, he bought him a car. He got him a used car. So his daughter was only 13, so she comes up to him and says, well, daddy, you going to buy me a car too? So he said, yes, I'll buy you a car when you get get that age and when you know get your permit. And he said this point, she never came back and asked him, are you going to buy me a car? Why? He had already told her. All she did was start to believe, and she went around telling her friends what kind of car she was going to get and what dad was going to do. He said, imagine if she kept on coming back and saying, Daddy, are you going to buy me a car? Are you going to buy me a car? Do you understand what I'm saying? She just believed the one time he said, yes, I'm going to buy you a car. Why? Because she trusted him. She trusted him. She never came and asked him again. He said, are you going to buy me a car? She just believed he was going to. Let's put that in our terms. Do we do that with God? Do we just go back? Let me go into this a little bit more because there's some things I want to understand. The reason that you can have trust is out of love. Love. She believed her father loved her. So if he said one time, I'm going to buy you a car, even though it was still years away, he said she never came back. You know why? Because she trusted him. Now, when in the Bible is the word love first mentioned? Anyone know? When is the first mention of the word love? Does anyone know the story? Actually, the word love isn't mentioned there. Huh? The word love is not mentioned in Genesis. Okay, but that's not the first mention of love. I'll tell you what the first mention of love. It's in Genesis 22, verse 2, where the first time the word love is mentioned. And it's to do with Abraham and his son. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. Remember what I said, faith has got to come from trust, and trust comes from love. Now, I deliberately chose this picture. There's many pictures of Abraham sacrificing his son. But if you look at the picture carefully, you'll see the son is not a baby. He's got a beard. So, this tells me something. Isaac was not a little kid when he went up the mountain with his father. He willingly submitted to being tied up. He said, where is the sacrifice? And Abraham, the father, told him one thing. The Lord himself will provide the sacrifice. At that point, when Abraham said, turn around, put your hands behind your back. And he got out the rope and started to tie him up. That was the time when Isaac had to exercise trust. Think about it. He wasn't a little boy. He could have fought that old man. But the father told him something important. The Lord himself will provide the sacrifice. Just like Jesus, who willingly came to earth and allowed himself to be taken, allowed himself to be nailed on a cross. For faith in God, we have to believe that he loves us. And if we believe that he loves us, then we will have trust. Even if he says, turn around, put your hands behind your back, I'm going to tie you up. Because the Father has told us, the Lord himself will provide the sacrifice. The question is now, where is our faith? Isaac could afford him, but he didn't. He let him, the father, tie him up and lay down on the altar to be sacrificed. Think about that. The faith was not only in Abraham, who we call the father of the faithful, but Isaac also must have had great faith. Wait a minute, what's going on here? How many of us would have allowed that? How many of us allows the Father to tie us up and put us in a situation where it looks like we may be killed? That takes faith. But it can only work if you know the Father loves you. Isaac must have known how much Abraham, the son he had wanted all for many, many, many years. He knew how much the Father loved him. So somehow, despite the way it looked, despite the way your circumstance looks, despite the way it looks like you're being tied up to be sacrificed, despite how that looks, how much do you believe the Father loves you? How much do you believe the Father loves you? Because that's the only way you're going to get through. Otherwise, your flesh is going to say, I'm going to fight. Isaac was not a little kid. He could have fought. He certainly could have ran. Here's the test. Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac. The first time the word love is mentioned, it's concerning sacrifice. Sacrifice. Whom thou lovest. Get thee into the land of Moriah. God calls us for sacrifice. And it's not a sacrifice if it's something you don't care about. It's a sacrifice when it's something you love. Maybe it's your time. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's your peace. Because sometimes you have to sacrifice your peace to help other people. You know you're going to get involved in drama and you don't want to. Right? And get thee to... So faith starts with trusting. Isaac must have trusted the Father's love. I don't understand what you're doing, Father. Abba, I don't understand why you came up here with no sacrifice. I don't understand why you're tying me up. I don't understand what you're doing with that knife. It's hard. And I'm dwelling on this because I want to try and build your faith. Amen. Give him a time to turn that on. Sister Johnny.
Praise the Lord, Pastor. I was just dwelling on the times that I've been saved, and when you, the best thing to do is when God first saves you, is to really pay attention, because once God saves you, he's going to actually build your faith right away. He's going to show you some things. He's going to move some things out of your way. He's going to heal you from some things, set you free from some things. So once he does this, he's going to take you along. But then it's going to come to a point where you're going to come to the valley.
Yes.
Now, when you come to the valley, you have to be able to look back and remember what God did while you was on the mountain. And then you'll be able to make it through the valley.
Amen. That's absolutely true. That is so true that if you can't remember what God has done, it's going to be hard to go through. Philip?
As I've just, you know, been living life and, you know, walking with the Lord, and I come to church and, you know, as I reflect over my life, I'm thinking, you know, what may be a big deal, you know, why we may slip up and everything. And I think sometimes in my mind I get a discrepancy between this trusting and having faith and then walking in the Spirit. And I think that a lot of times, I know in my life, I would, you know, really be sure that I was doing exactly what the Lord wanted me to do, to the point that when I didn't see that I wasn't doing exactly what he wanted me to do, you know, you can get really, you know, distracted. It's mm-hmm. easy to get distracted. And I think that just in my life that this trusting is going to be something that takes, I guess, time to really develop walking and being free in the Spirit of God.
Well, trust is a process, right? When you meet someone for the first time, you don't know them for an atom, you probably don't trust them too much. But after God has done some things for you, and I think the point you made is so good, you know, because when a baby is born, every time it just opens its mouth, the mother comes running. But after about a year, that baby's got to grow. So you don't come running every time. You look to see if it's really something or the baby's just getting lazy. For us to grow, sometimes God is looking at our situation and saying, well, you know, you could really take care of this. You're just calling me because you want to be a baby. And so for us to grow, we have to stretch out our muscles. Sometimes when you have a little baby and you're trying to teach them to crawl, instead of putting the thing right in front of them, what do? You put it a little bit further so that they have to do what? They have to make an effort. Sometimes all God is trying to do is getting us to crawl. We may not understand it. Why is she not giving it to me? She always gives it to me, but now I'm going to have to stretch for it. Maybe God is just trying to get you to stretch a little bit. Because faith has to grow. Amen. So trust grows from experience. Amen. Now, I want you to look at something here. John 3:14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That whosoever, and here's the words I've highlighted, believeth in him. Believeth. We have to believe in God and that he loves us. As I said, God waited 20-something chapters before the word love was written in the Bible. And it concerns how much Abraham loved his son. And that love was communicated to Isaac, so Isaac was able to let himself be put in a situation. How much do we trust that God loves us, that we allow him to work in our lives, to put us in situations that may look hopeless, that may look so hopeless, may look like it can't work? Where is the sacrifice? Nothing in the Bible is there by chance, not even one word. I think the fact that when Isaac asked him, where is the sacrifice, he said, God himself. Look out for God himself to show up at the last minute. Look up for the ram to be caught in the thicket. You may think you're the sacrifice, but you look out. He told him, God himself will prepare the sacrifice. See, this is just a test we're going through. It's a trial of your faith. See, this reflects back to Genesis. For God so loved the world that he gave his only. Abraham, I want you to go give your only son whom thou lovest. God knew that a few thousand years later, because of what Abraham did, because Abraham was willing to step up to the plate, God also was going to fulfill his word. For God so loved the world. Now, this is what you have to believe for you to have faith, that God so loves you. Because the only way we're going to overcome is to believe that. The only way Isaac could have gone through letting his father tie him up and lay him down on the altar was somehow believing, this man loves me. He loves me. Something is going to happen. Something is going to work out. It may go right up to where the knife is right above you. But Jesus said, in every temptation, he will do what? Make a way of escape. It may go to where the knife is right over you. I've been there several times. I've been there where the knife is right over me. And it really just took the voice of God saying, hold up a minute. Was just a test. I've had the times when the knife is right over me. And if you're not prepared, if your faith is not there yet, you'll start fighting. Instead of being a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, you'll say, this is too much for me. I got to get out of here. I can't take this. But Isaac let himself, just like Jesus. That's why he was named by God directly from birth. He told Abraham and Sarah, no, you can't name this son. This son really is going to be my model of what I'm going to do. So thou shalt call his name Isaac. Laughter, joy. Because Jesus endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. It's all about trusting God, and that's hard. When it looks like you're being taken up the mountain, there's no other sacrifice but you, and you don't see nothing in sight. Anyone being taken up the mountain, anyone feel like they're the only sacrifice? Amen. Faith then comes from hearing, but hearing comes in many, many ways. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, I put this verse second. In Romans, it's actually before verse 17. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now, by a preacher, it doesn't mean me. It means anyone who is witnessing, anyone who is proclaiming the goodness of God. God delivered me. That's all you have to tell someone. God delivered me. God healed me. God took me out of a pit. That's what it's speaking about. That's why people who stay to themselves and don't let the word, their faith starts to go down. Because they're not hearing something to encourage them. When you come here, you're going to hear that God is a savior. He is a deliverer. He can make a way out of no way. He can save you in an accident. Now, we both have had crashes. We both have had accidents. God has saved my life in crashes probably at least 3 or 4 times. When the car was totaled, you've heard me testify about that several times. And he's probably saved my life so many more times that I don't even know about. You know, the time you dropped your keys and you were late, and the car went through on a red light, and you just missed it. And you didn't know why you dropped your keys about an hour before. A few seconds more and you'd have been right in the middle. You didn't even know. That's why when you come here today, you should just thank God. Lord, thank you. I can guarantee he saved your life last week and you didn't even know it. I can guarantee he saved my life last week and I didn't know it. Amen. I'm thinking about some times that come back to mind where, you know, people did some crazy things. And you just go, wow. How shall they hear? So it's upon us to be witnesses. That's what Abraham was to Isaac. He told his son, the Lord himself shall provide the sacrifice. Isaac must have held on to that all the way, looking around, even when he was on the altar. Okay, Lord, it's time now. You can show up now. It's time, Lord. Let's look at this. Paul to Galatians was saying, listen, this is a walk of faith. This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit through the works of the law. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners. Do you know what that means? It goes on to say, God died for us and showed his love. God is not loving you because you're good. And if you're waiting for that to have faith, you're going to be in trouble. God is not loving you because you've been perfect this week. If that was the case, I just couldn't get up here. I couldn't get up here. I'm not perfect. But his love, his grace, his mercy. God saved us while we were yet sinners. Think about that. He showed us his love while we were yet sinners. It wasn't because we were good. So why can't we have faith now that we are at least trying? Before, we weren't even trying. We didn't care. We were living for me, I, and myself. What feels good to me, I, and myself? Let's go party. Let's go do this. Sister Johnny.
I'm sorry, Pastor.
No, don't be sorry.
I just want to say this. You know, and I'm not bragging about the church, but I just want to make it clear that God is so amazing to bring me to this church, because from where I came from, and I'm not talking about the church because there's different administrations for
Amen.
Different churches.
Amen.
But where I came from, it was like a judgment type thing, and it was upon me, and all I used to do was judge people. But I'm just so glad of how God works. You know, how God can just bring you somewhere and put you somewhere and show you something different. And I'm amazed, because at one point I thought my ministry was something, but God has shown me since he brought me here to Rehoboth that what my ministry really is. And it's really amazing, because it's something that's already inside of me that has to do with love, because I love people. And God has shown me I haven't placed you to judge no one. I have placed you to love people with this calling upon your life so you can encourage people. And it's amazing, because you can always witness to anybody, because all you have to do is just listen to them.
Amen.
People want you to listen to them. And if you listen to them, you'll be able to meet them somewhere in their life with the gospel.
Amen. 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 The most fundamental definition of God is that God is love. God is love. Amen. And, you know, as I've told many times, I used to be very judgmental too, till I realized the scripture really hit me that with whatever judgment you judge, that's what's going to be. That's the you judge harshly, that's how God's going to judge you. I need a lot of mercy. I need a lot of mercy. Romans 5:8, here's the scripture I've been speaking about. But God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What I'm trying to talk about is your faith. Can you believe that God loves us, loved us while we were sinners? How much more should he love us now? Not that we are perfect, but we have left that place called sin and we're walking away from it. If you're walking away from sin, if you're going in the direction, if God loved you while you were sitting here in sin, how much more should he love you now? How much more should your faith and your trust in him be greater? Amen. Paul says, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law? Was it because you were so good? Was it because you did some sacrifice that God? No. Or by the hearing of faith, just by believing God. Let's look at that word that I said, substance of things hoped for. Romans 8:24 says, for we are saved by hope. By hope. That means that we call ourselves saved, but it's not yet absolutely fulfilled. By faith we declare ourselves saved, but until we either die or the rapture, it's not yet executed. It's like, as I said, Paul speaks about we have the earnest, we have the deposit, we've put down the deposit, we haven't yet moved into the house. But the house is going to be ours. All we have to do is continue with the agreement, right? When you buy in a house, you put down the deposit and you sign the contract. That means that person can't now sell that house to anybody else. It's your house, but you just haven't moved in yet. So we're in this stage where God has signed a contract. If we have promised, if we have committed ourselves, the house is coming. Jesus said in John 14, he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If you believe in God, believe. How much do we believe and trust God that he loves us? Because this is the victory that overcometh the world. You got to tell Satan, you got to tell this world, listen, God loves me. I don't care what you say. Even if I haven't seen it yet, I'm going to hold on. It'll come on. I'm going to hold on to the button. Because it didn't come on right away, I'm still holding on. It's got a delay, but it's going to come on. Amen. See, if I'd read the book, I would have known that. People come to church, they'll hear how much God loves them. Amen. But I just thought I knew how this thing works. I was just pressing the button, and it wasn't coming on because you had to hold it. Sometimes you have to hold on to your faith and not let Satan deceive you. Amen. Look at this. 1 Peter 1:8. It's about what we cannot see. It says, Jesus Christ in brackets, whom having not seen, he love. Amen. In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy. Now, sometimes it's very hard to be joyful, right? You get into a big fuss with a family member or some other thing happens or you get some financial setback. It's hard in our flesh to have joy. But if we can do like Jesus and look beyond the cross we're carrying right now. Yeah, the cross was there. It was in the way. There was going to be a crucifixion. But I like the way the scripture said, whom for the joy that was set before him. Well, the cross is set before me. No, there's a resurrection. That cross is not going to be forever. It's only temporary. It's going to end. It's going to be limited. But the resurrection is eternal. The Bible says we are passed from death unto life. But do we believe that? Amen. Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith. The end of our faith will be the salvation of our souls. But that will only happen if we believe. I'm talking about how we get our Faith restored. Well, the substance of things hoped for is that we are saved by hope. And the Bible says we don't see it yet. You may not feel like you're saved right now. You may be going through all kinds of trials and tribulation, financial hardship, family hardship, pressure. And you may not feel in your flesh like that. You got to take away that feeling. You got to tell your flesh, you're a liar. It's not about how I feel right now. It's what I believe. Amen. It's what I believe. I believe that God has saved me. I believe that God's got deliverance. I believe that I am going to walk on streets of gold. I believe that he still has a plan for my life. David said, he restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. David probably had to write those things for himself. I'll let you in a little secret. See, when I was dating Yvonne, I got real depressed because I thought someone else had the inside track. So I did like David. I wrote a poem. I wrote a really sad poem, you know, a woe is me poem. A woe is me poem. And it was really a very, very dark poem, you know, And it was very clever, though. I thought it was one of the best poems I wrote, but it was so dark and depressing. You know, it was like, woe is me, you know, no hope is there. I was in a dark place. You know, but you see, God had mercy upon me. Amen. God had mercy upon me. So David knew how to write some poems. He knew how to write some poems. He says, he restoreth my soul. Amen. God can restore you even if you're in a dark place. While we were yet sinners, it wasn't because we... Do you understand that each and every one of you here is unique and special? Because God chose you to be here. God chose you to know the truth. It doesn't really matter what you're going through right now. It doesn't even matter your circumstance. It doesn't matter your education. It doesn't matter your level of whatever the world calls intellect. God chose you before the foundation of the world. The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, that's something to meditate on this week. Just tell you, while I was yet a sinner, God loved me. And I'm not a sinner now by faith. I've left that place called sin, and I'm walking to glory now. So if while I was a sinner, God loved me, how much more now? Amen. I'm talking about restoring your faith this week because this is the only way that we're going to overcome this world. Amen. So I ask you, what is your hope? I asked at the beginning, who had hopes? Who's got some hopes here? Now, most of us have got some short-term hopes. We got some tangible things. Lord, I'd like you to do this for me this week, or I want you to do this for me this month. But our long-term hope, our true hope should be that we make it. All the other hopes don't really matter. All the other hopes are nothing. The Bible says, if I gain the whole world and lose my soul, what does it profit me? What does it profit me? Amen. It says, let me look at this. So we have to have hope, and we have to have that hope, and that hope is the substance. Amen. My hope is that God just gives me more of his blessings. And I don't mean financial. I'm talking about I want a closer relationship. I want him to talk to me more. I want to have that assurance. Amen. Jesus said, if you seek me, you shall find me. So what have we been seeking? How much have we paid attention to God's desires and needs? Amen. Victory can only come through faith in Christ. I'm sorry the screen is like that, but I'll read it. Therefore, being justified by faith, that's how we're justified. We're not justified by works. It's not because you suddenly fasted this whole month, God says, okay, now you're okay. No, we're justified by belief in his goodness, his righteousness, not mine. I can't do it. But Lord, I believe that you are righteous. I believe that you love me. I believe that you have called me and you have chosen me. I want you all to say that. I want you to repeat after me. I believe that you have chosen me, that you love me, and that you have called me. And I have received your righteousness. Come on, let's give God a praise offering right now. Romans 8:31 says, what shall we say to these things? Is anyone against you right now? You got some jerks at work? You got some people against you? Family members against you? You got some sickness against you? You got some circumstance against you? If God be for us, who can be against us? I'm talking about overcoming this world through our faith. Now, the question is, do you believe that? And I want to tell you, God is for us. God is for you. I want you to say, God is for me. Say it again. God is for me. Amen. You better believe it. Amen. If you believe it, then the next verse applies. It says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Who is it who's going to fight God? God is my Father. God protects me. God is my keeper. God is my deliverer. God is my healer. Hallelujah. He that spared not his own son. Going all the way back to the first time the word love is mentioned in Genesis. Because Abraham did not spare his son, God says, listen, I'm not going to let Abraham outdo me. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up. God was willing for you to come to earth, take on flesh, be brutalized, be crucified. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now, if you don't see the all things, maybe you're not holding on to the button long enough. Maybe you're not holding on to the button long enough. I don't know how long the instruction book in your book says to hold on. Maybe it's 3 weeks. Maybe it's a month. In Abraham's case, it was 25 years. You know why? Because he kept on taking his finger off the button. He stopped in Haran 5 years. Took his finger off the button. He walked around with Lot and brought everybody with him. Took his finger off the button. God said, I'm talking to you, Abraham. You talking to me? Yes, he's talking to you. I don't know what God's plan for your life is, but I do know this. He has a plan. And if you will keep your finger on the button, it'll come on. But a lot of times we get impatient with God and say, well, it hasn't happened yet. And our faith starts to go down. He that spared not his own son. God went as far as he could go to prove to you that he loves you. What else could he do? If he was willing to die, is there anything else a person can do to prove how much they care about you? If they're willing to give their own life for you, what else can he do? That's why, as I said, we hurt God because we don't believe. We want him to do something else. That wasn't enough that you came and died and you say you love us and you died and we... That's not enough, God. We want you to do something else. Or you did that for me last week. I want you to do something else now. As I said, Joel Osteen said, he told his daughter once that he was going to buy her a car, and she never asked him again. Because she knew he could. She knew who he was. She knew he loved her. All she did from then on, he said, was go boast to her friends and start to describe what kind of car Dad was going to buy for her. Oh, it's going to be this. It's going to have this. But she never came back and asked him. Think about that. If we truly trust God, you're not surprising him with your prayers. You're not informing him of your situation like he doesn't know. So in that case, what should you really be praying? Lord, I'm going to thank you because I know you're my Father. I know you already know what I need. You already know what I need. So Lord, I know you got this. So I'm just going to start thinking about how beautiful your answer is going to be. I know you're going to fix this for me. I know I need a companion, so I'm just going to start thinking how he's going to look or how she's going to look. I'm not going to even ask you again because you know what I need. Jesus said, which one of you by thinking how can make you grow another inch or two? You can't do it. But not one bird falls to the ground, not one sparrow. I was watching this National Geographic program and it was showing billions and billions of these little insects, locusts. And God knows all of them. Every single one. God knows more about you than you know about yourself. I'm trying to talk about restoring your faith. that when you leave here today, you say, I'm going to trust you, God. I'm going to stand upon your word. Even though I haven't seen this thing come on, I'm going to hold on to this button a little longer. I'm going to make sure the batteries are okay, but once I've checked that, I'm going to hold on to this thing a little longer. That was such a good example, taught me such a lesson, because I was just click, 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 and then nothing was working. Nothing was working, because I wasn't consistent. Some people come to church 1 week, and then you don't see them for a month. Ooh. You have to be consistent. Consistent. It's the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Isn't that what the scripture says? But we want God to be like my little button. Click, and he does it. Click, and he's off. I want to turn you off, God, now, because I want to go do my own thing for a little bit. And then when I come back, I want to just pick it up and click, and instantly you appear like the genie in the lamp. It doesn't work that way. No, it doesn't work that way. I like this thing. James 4 says, come near to God and he will come near to you. Trust in his timing. God has got a perfect time. He waited 4,000 years before he brought Jesus. You know what the scripture in Matthew says? People ask, well, why didn't he bring the Savior like, you know, a month after the garden? No, God has a plan. You can't see his plan. You have to trust him. The way the Bible speaks about Jesus' birth, it says this, now when the fullness of time was come. God had a perfect timing. We may not understand it, we may not know it, but God has got a perfect timing for your deliverance. He's got a perfect timing for your healing. He's got a perfect timing for what you're going through. Now we can delay it. We certainly can delay it by not being ready when it happens. Rely on his promises. Wait for his answers. That's the hardest part. That's the hardest part, to wait. Those that wait upon the Lord, he shall and they shall mount up with wings like eagle. Believe in his miracles. Just because you haven't had a miracle for 10 years, don't stop doubting now. Rejoice in his goodness. Let's have just a blowout praise service, second service. Let's just thank God. Let's just rejoice. Let's just give God his due. I like this last one. It says, relax in his presence. Let's just chill. Let's just chill. God's got this. Let's just chill. Okay? God's got this. Let's just chill a little bit. Don't you try and fix it. Because he's got this. Just chill. This is the victory. This is the victory that overcometh the world. Even our faith. This is the victory that overcometh the world. Even our faith. I tell you, when you armor up in faith and you go out there, Satan's going to just have to go, I'm going to pick someone else today. I'm going to pick someone else today. I'm not messing with this person today. They've been at Rehoboth today. They heard some words today. I got to leave them alone this week. I'm going to wait a while. I'm going to wait till their faith go down because they've been hearing too much good stuff today. You know how these lions attack? They look for the weakest one in the herd. They look and they say, which one is lagging behind? Which one is dragging their foot? As soon as they see the ones leaping and joyful and jumping, they say, that's a waste of time attacking that one. That's a waste of time attacking that one. That's how prey animals attack. They look at the herd and they say, which one is dragging their foot? Which one don't look like they got a piece of joy in their whole bones? That would be easy prey. But you see some of these animals, and for no reason, these elk, they're just jumping and prancing. You know what they're doing? They're just praising God. They're letting the lion see, listen, it's hopeless coming after me. Can you see how high I'm jumping? I have no reason to jump, but to just let you know that you're wasting your time on me. I refuse to be depressed. I refuse to let the devil take my joy. I put this little cartoon up there. I don't know if you can see it, but so I'll read it. It's two nails. It's two nails there, and one saying, Zowie Nail, you sure get hit on the head a lot. And the other one says, every time I get hit, it just drives me deeper into the wood. Every time you get hit, imagine if you were getting deeper into the Lord. My brethren, here's what James says. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. The reason why we don't have this joy is because we don't remember this verse. We don't speak to our son. Listen, I know I'm going through, but Lord, I'm going to count it all joy. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Just hold on to the button. Just hold on. It'll come on. It will work. But let patience, let's say that together, let patience have her perfect work. You got to let patience work. That's what God is doing. He's letting you grow a little bit. He's letting you stretch a little bit. That he may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You see, faith can be seen because Jesus said he saw it. When those men brought that sick man on a stretcher to Jesus, they couldn't get in, but they were determined. We're not leaving. Jesus is probably going to go somewhere, so we're here. We're going to get. So you know what they did? They showed their faith. They climbed up on the roof and started taking out the roof to let him down. The Bible says when Jesus saw their faith, there was nothing but he had to respond. When Jesus sees you put faith into action, he is going to respond. And actually, he gave him the greatest gift. He said, Thy sons, thy sins be forgiven. And of course, the people said, well, wait a minute. That's not what he came here for. But I tell you, you may not have come here for to have your sins forgiven, but that's the greatest thing that you could ever have. Now, I want to throw a little negative here. I want to show you something about what happens when we lose faith. And this may not be something that you probably saw, but why did Moses not reach the promised land? Why did Moses not reach the promised land? Come on, Bible scholars. Disobedience. Yes, he was disobedient. But you know what God says why he didn't reach the promised land? And the Lord spake to Moses and Aaron and said, because he believed me not. Think about that. You know what happened? It's just like you said. When they started off in Egypt, God did all these miracles. But 40 years of walking around in the desert started to wear Moses out. Remember I preached that message, don't let the journey wear you out. And this incident where he lost out was near the end of the 40 years. He was so close to crossing over. If you've been fighting this fight for a long time, don't let this journey wear you out. The Bible says it's because he did not believe me. Yeah, we know he was disobedient, but somehow in that God said it was a lack of faith. Even though he had seen miracles. All of you today who are in here, probably God has done some miracles for you before. Hasn't he? He has done some things for you before. Don't be like Moses and right near the end now start to get unbelief. Even though the miracles at the beginning were so huge, even though every day there was a miracle, God fed them by making stuff appear on the ground till it became common. It didn't even become like a miracle. They just thought of it as nothing. They didn't even stop to think that, listen, God woke you up today. There's a lot of people who didn't. I'm starting to hear of people passing who are younger than me. Amen. I'm beginning to hear of people and what did they die of? Well, they just died. I thank God every day. Don't let whatever miracle become common. Become common. So that the Bible says that the real reason Moses didn't reach it, because he believed me not. That's shocking. Think about it. That right at the end, Moses lost a little bit of faith. God said, speak to the rock. And because he was angry, and because he remembered that that's what he did last time, and he didn't believe God, he hit the rock. He hit the rock twice. And he disobeyed God, and God said it was a lack of faith. A lack of faith. Let's not, those of you who have been coming to church a long time, who God has done miracles, right at this end point now, start to have a lack of faith. I'm almost finished. I'm out of time. Now, here's Daniel 3:15, and I want to give you a positive example of faith. King Nebuchadnezzar had made this great image. You know this story well. I'm just going to read it in a modern translation. Now, if you are ready. At the moment you hear the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, trigon, psaltery, and bagpipe, and all kinds of music. See, what the devil wants you to do is to give up and worship him. And that comes in many forms. It doesn't mean literally you'll be before an idol, but he has many ways of deceiving. But if you do not worship, you will be immediately be cast into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire. And here's where Nebuchadnezzar made a big mistake. He said, what God is there who can deliver? Anytime the devil challenges God, you might as well start rejoicing. Because he's not fighting you anymore. He's fighting someone he can't beat. He's fighting the Father. Amen. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to King, O Nebuchadnezzar, why I read it in a modern translation, I want you to read what it is they actually said. We do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. We don't even have to answer you. Don't answer the devil. Don't strike up a conversation with him. Because he's smarter than you. So they said, listen, we don't even really have to talk to you about this. All we're going to say is, if be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver from the furnace of blazing fire and will deliver us out of your hand. You know what they were saying, and I've told you this before, what they were saying, death is a delivery out of your hand. Whatever you do, you can't win, Nebuchadnezzar. Because if you kill us, that's out of your hand. And if the Lord delivers us to stay alive, that's still out of your hand. So he will deliver us out of your hand, whatever happens. Either way, we win. Paul saying, listen, to be absent from the body is with Christ. So Nero, if you execute me, I still win. As a Christian, if you're filled with the Spirit, you can't lose. Do you understand that? If you die, you win. If you live, you win. I just like the way they said this. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand. He will. They didn't hedge any bets. They said, he will. Amen. If you could stand with me, I ran over time. Very quickly then. Sister Browning.
I know we were reading this the other day in Hebrews 10:22, that unbelief is not only, I think, disappointing to God, but it talks about, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. That unbelief is to God, is to us, having an evil conscience. Have you thought of it like that way?
Amen.
I mean, we think of evil as doing sin, shooting somebody, robbing, lying, but unbelief, having unbelief, gives us an evil conscience, which is pretty serious, you know.
Amen, amen, amen. That's a great point. But the Bible is really saying unbelief is an evil conscience. So we have to have our hearts sprinkled from unbelief and believe God. Bible says, in this world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. This lesson has been overcoming through Christ. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Whatever you have to do this week to restore your faith, if you've been going through some unbelief and some doubt, you start to speak to yourself, start to get some scriptures, start to read some promises out loud to yourself, because faith comes by hearing. And if it's you need to do it, you need to witness to yourself. That's what David did, didn't he? He's killed a bear, helped me kill a lion. So Goliath, you're going to be no problem. Whatever issue you're going through, we absolutely must have our faith. Taking the shield of faith, amen, whereby we can withstand the fiery darts. He's going to send some fiery darts. He's going to fling some stuff at you that if you don't have your shield of faith, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. But if you have the shield of faith, amen, he's going to have to pick someone else. He's going to have to pick someone else. Hallelujah. So this is the victory that overcometh the world. And we can have victory through Christ, through our faith. Hallelujah. If you could bow your heads with me. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. Let it find good soil. Let our hearts be lifted up in faith right now to trust your word. We thank you for all that you're doing in our church. Lord, we ask you to bless our second service. Let your presence, O God, manifest in our service. Let our praise ascend to your throne room. We thank you in Jesus' name. Give God a praise offering. Hallelujah. Amen.